I would like to look at Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. And I would like to read how God prepared Isaiah for the work of the kingdom. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one called to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. His glory fills the whole earth." The foundations of the doorways shook at the sound of their voices, and the temple was filled with smoke. Pause right there a moment. How would you be feeling at that moment? At that moment, the seraphim rose up and they covered their eyes with two wings and flew with two. And what did they do with the third wing? Said. Covered their face, covered their feet, and with two of them he flew. Seraphim are quite simply a six-winged angel. And I don't think they were small. And the foundations of the doorway shook at the sound of their voices. So apparently these seraphim were not quiet angels that whisper in your ear. They were thundering angels that were praising and glorifying God. The temple was filled with smoke. How would you be feeling about then? There's smoke rolling around. There's a thunderous voice of these angels. And there's the very sight of them. Then Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." So Isaiah, who God used to write scripture. And Isaiah, if you ever read Isaiah, it's full of wonderful lessons about God's character and about people and about what God wants to do with people. And he said, "Woe is me, I am undone." Woe is me, in modern street language, we'd say, "I'm worthless. I'm ruined, I'm no good. Woe is me, because I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips." He's saying, "I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And my lips are unclean because I utter things that are not true, that I utter things that are foolishness, that I'm not always wholesome. Before the pure holiness of God, as he's lifted up on the throne, everything I say just pales. It seems unclean compared to the majesty that he saw as he saw the Lord lifted up and sitting on a lofty throne with his robe filling the temple." But look what God did. Can any of you identify with Isaiah? "I'm a man of unclean lips. But you know what? Maybe if you got control of your lips, what about your heart? How many times in your heart does your heart think up what you really want to say with your lips, but you don't say it? You think it in your heart. I know, I do. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, and in his hand was a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Now this has touched your lips. Your wickedness is removed and your sin is atoned." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." So God had somewhere he wanted to send Isaiah. But before God could send Isaiah, he had to have Isaiah to the point of recognizing that he is a sinner. Of recognizing that he is flesh. And our flesh has a sin nature, a sin tendency. That fight it and fight it and fight it. It will still rise up, if not on our lips, it will rise up in our hearts. Or we have to apply the blood of Jesus to it. Before Isaiah could be sent, he had to have an awareness that I am a sinner and have the awareness that God forgives sin. So Isaiah could not go into his ministry thinking, "I've got it all together." He needed to go into his ministry, the things that God had prepared for him to do. He had to go in it with the awareness of his sin nature, of his sinfulness, of his uncleanness compared to God. And by the way, we're never supposed to compare ourselves with other people, but we are supposed to compare ourselves with the holiness and the purity of God. And that keeps us humble. That keeps us needy. And God wants us to be needy, always needing his grace, always needing his mercy, and always thinking that I cannot do this on my own because I will mess it up. So how does God prepare people? One way he prepares people is with an awareness. And an awareness of who we are and how much we need him. That's like if God's working in your life and he has something that he wants you to be doing, if it's hospitality, if it's evangelism, if it's writing or whatever it may be, you need to start right where Isaiah started. And that's where God will start with you in getting you ready for whatever God has for you to do. He will always start with making us aware of our sinfulness, making us aware that we are flesh. And the word says that God remembers that we are flesh. He remembers that. He knows that. And just like the seraphim reached down and touched Isaiah with the hot coal, representing, I'm sure, the blood of Jesus. And now God lets us know about our sinfulness in the first step of preparation of our neediness, how much we need him and how little we are without him. And then he applies the blood of Jesus when we ask him to. And our neediness should always do something for us. It shouldn't make us depressed. It shouldn't make us forget it then. Forget it. As needy and wicked as I am, God can never use me. He doesn't want that. He wants us to recognize how much we need him, how much we need the forgiveness that was purchased on the cross for us, First step of preparation. That's how God prepares his people. That's how he prepared Isaiah. And whatever God's ministry that he wants for you, that's where it needs to start. How much we need him. Let's look at Isaiah 45, verses 2 to 3. After God gets our attention and helps us to realize that we need him, that we're unclean, that we're just in the same boat as Isaiah was, and then he needs to, could we say he needs to give a good boot to the flesh? Isaiah 45, verses 2 and 3. God speaking to Isaiah, or through Isaiah, speaking through Isaiah to us. I will go before you and level the uneven places. I will shatter the bronze doors and cut the iron bars in two. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the riches from secret places, so that you may know that I, the Lord, the God of Israel, call you by your name. When God asks us to do something, and oftentimes it's just little things, our flesh will rise up and say, I can't do that. And I'm like, bingo, you're right, you can't do it. You need God's help to be successful in whatever he calls you to do. And without that, you may go through the motions, you may do things, but it will be without the power and the anointing of God. God breaks down barriers. You know, a lot of times God asks us to do things, and we erect this barrier or this closed door. I can't do that. Look, the door's shut. I can't get in. I can't do that. Or there's bars in my way, bronze, metal, iron bars in the way. You know, in 1980, I was a very, very, very shy, very, very, very backwards, very, very timid guy. But I wanted, from early in my believing life, I wanted to serve the Lord somewhere. Intentionally, into which I take a step, I'm going to serve you at this in this location. I just had a drive to do that. I don't know why, because I was a shy, backwards guy. And an opening came up to do community service work in Nicaragua. And I said, I have to learn Spanish. And just to prove my point, the mission office had everyone who applied to go to overseas to where there's another language spoken. You took a language prognosis test to see if you had the basic skills to learn a language. And I got that thing. And I failed it horribly. I'm like, see God, see God. But yet, something rose up inside me. And sometimes there needs to be something that rises up inside us so that we can plug into what God wants us to be doing. Something rose up inside me that said, nevertheless, I believe that you want to take me to Nicaragua, and I believe being exposed to a different culture and going way, way, way beyond your limits, and go way, way, way beyond your ability, beyond anything you've ever dreamed of prior. I believe that it will change me. And that was my petition with God, and I have it written in my spiritual journal. I can go back and look at it anytime. That was my cry. It will change me. It will make me a different person. And I went to Nicaragua. And I learned Spanish well enough to be a blessing to many people. And I learned my Spanish from the young people, the children. And they taught me a children's version of Spanish. And here, 30, 40 years later, I can still speak enough Spanish to make myself a nuisance. Si, yo puedo hablar un poco de español. No muy bueno, pero yo puedo hablar. Más o menos malo, pero soy hablando. And it came in very useful in Ecuador. It was very useful. After God gets your attention, and he's preparing, you might not think it, but young people, even people my age and older, he's preparing us for something. Older people, he doesn't put us on a shelf. Why would he do that? We can still talk, we can still walk, we can still love people. Young people, you got a lifetime of potential. I remember Elisa when she was very young. I would tell her stories about missions, tell her stories about Nicaragua, the adventures I had there. And God used that. From a young age, I remember her telling me, I want to do that sometime. And she'd jump up and down and bounce. I want to do that sometime. Guess what? She let God prepare her, and she's there. Remember that God breaks down barriers. And those of you who are familiar with the prayer team and those who are supporting Elisa in prayer, you know she's had some struggles. The foundation has had some struggles. It's a very brutal environment in a lot of ways to work with those children and the nationals that are employed there as well. But she's seeing it through. She sees a God who breaks barriers, who opens doors, who cuts bronze bars that are in the way. And we all need to get that picture. Put up Isaiah 45 again. I'd love for these verses to stick in your minds. To just boom, peg there. This is what God does when we can't see the way. I will go before you. Nothing more comforting than to know that wherever God's taking you, whatever you're going through, God, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, those three are such buddies. They're just like, they work together so wonderfully in our lives. I will go before you. Where you are, I've been there. I know what's coming. I've been there. I can help you. I will go before you and level the uneven places. I will shatter the bronze doors and cut the iron bars in two. Cut the bars in two. Open those bronze doors. And give you treasures of darkness. That means that so often, give God a chance. Ask Him to speak to you in the night. I've had so many wonderful experiences when, you know, at night when it's dark and you're tired, and sometimes you get depressing thoughts or you're getting negative thoughts about things. And just open yourself. God, show me something. And you'll be amazed how often He'll give you treasures in the darkness. He'll tell you things. Tell you things that will change your life. He breaks down barriers. He loves you. He knows you. And He wants you. And He places in us an awareness of His presence. And all that that means. How much doesn't it mean that God is with us? And so often, this is the great failure of, I would classify this as one of the greatest failures of American Christianity. We're not in a situation, we don't put ourselves in a situation where we have got to have Him or we can't do it. And we step out and we start doing something. And we know that we can't do it without Him. And we've got to have Him. And He comes through. But far too infrequently do we do that. Put ourselves in situations way beyond our ability. Way beyond what we ever thought we'd ever even want to do. And we need to put ourselves in those situations. It's part of the preparation process to getting you exactly where God wants you to be, where you'll be enjoying and feeling blessed in the work of the Lord. Whether it's just showing hospitality or opening your home to people or whatever it may be, those things even take faith. And God gives certain personalities for people to show hospitality. Places in us an awareness of His presence. Let's get that. Let Him press into you an awareness of your sinfulness, your undoneness, your woe is me, as Isaiah said. As He presses that into you, recognize how much you need Him. And then recognize that He's never going to ask you to do something or be something or go somewhere. He's never going to do that without the promise that He's going with you. Ephesians 2:10. Wonderful verse. One that every Christian should know. For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. He prepared ahead of time, young people, that should stir your little hearts, that He prepared ahead of time, He already has prepared some things that He wants you to do. Some work, somehow that you'll be used in the kingdom of God. To bless people. And with God, it's all about people. He's just crazy over us. By the way, if you don't feel that God is crazy over you, that He's madly in love with you, that He cares about you, and that no matter what you've done, that He just wants to wrap you up and one place in the Word it says He sings over us. If you don't feel like that, please let me know. We'll spend some time in the Word. Well, look at your heart. Maybe there's some damage to your heart at some point in your life that you can't feel that love from Him. That can be fixed through prayer, through the Word. That can be fixed. We've seen it many times in the Caring for the Heart ministries, that our counseling service, biblical counseling. We take the Word and we apply it to the heart. And whatever's keeping you from feeling God's love, whatever's keeping you from feeling your potential in the kingdom, He takes it away. He takes it away and gives you freedom. As I was preparing some this morning, an old song came back to my mind. I can't sing it, but maybe one of these days I ought to step out in faith and sing anyway. I do in groups. I do that in large groups. But how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And my song will ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And when the wounds in your heart are healed, any obstruction of the flesh tends to get in between what God's doing and what He wants to do in your heart. When that's all cleared up, your song will ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Lord, is the Savior's love for me. And then on top of that, another song came to my mind. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. That's where Isaiah was. And yet He does. He loves you. And He sees you full of potential. He sees everything that you can do if you just surrender. If you just see and picture Him going before you, it's an amazing part of preparation for whatever God has for you, that you see Him going before you. So let God into your heart. That's where our feelings and emotions meet. Feelings and emotions meet there. And that's where God speaks. And we respond, our hearts respond, or are locked up and need to come to freedom. That's where we're stretched. When God speaks to our hearts and we feel it in our hearts, we feel His presence and we're stretched. And He starts to make us think, well, maybe we can do, maybe, yeah, you can do it. And the flesh rises up. That's where the rising up of the flesh and the intrusion of the Spirit take place. But keep at it, and wonderful things will happen in your heart. We've seen it, experienced it. Stand amazed in the presence of one who will come in my heart and battle in my heart with the things that run contrary to what God wants. Where I'm stretched. Just picture God just stretching your heart. That's what He wants to do. Just make it bigger. If your heart is broken, remember God says, I am near to the brokenhearted. It's in the book of Psalms. If your heart is broken, I'm near to that. Come on, let me in. We'll get some healing. Let's get this taken care of. So I would like you to do this week. We're going to be ending shortly, and there'll be a time of prayer up here. Come up if you want to talk to God. You want to talk to God about your heart. You want to talk to God about the preparation He's doing in your life. If you want to just come up and tell them, I'm stretched. My heart is stretched. Come on, prepare me. Come up. It's fine. Or maybe you need to take a longer time this week. And this week I'd like you to do something. Just take the points that we've been through. Recognize who you are. Strip off the mantle of pride that makes you think you are somebody in your own right. And like Isaiah, just say to him, woe is me, I am undone compared to your holiness. And let him touch your heart with the burning coal. Let him bring the blood of Jesus to account in your life. Let him bring the blood of Jesus and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And then let him plant a picture in your heart, in your mind, of him always going before you. Always. He never sends us anywhere. He never tells us to do anything without him being right there. And he says, I'm not just right there beside you. I've gone before you as well. In a week, you'll be changed. In a week, God will look at this church and he'll say, oh, wow, look at all these wonderful tools I have. Because they're picturing me going before them. They're picturing their hearts. The blood of Jesus flowing through them and washing away all filthiness, all failure, past, present, and future. Just, I can picture God. It talks about God singing over his people. I can picture him jumping up and down and singing. And he's probably not just singing, knowing God as I do. I think he's probably doing some dancing and jumping around. A church full of people with prepared open hearts. Let him send you where he will. Let him prepare you to do whatever it is that he wants you to do. And if he's already got you ready, go, do it. The worship team can come forward. My God can do more than we ever ask or think. He can do it. And he does do it. Thank him for the times he's done that in your life. And lean on him and ask him to do more of that for you. And you'll have a life that's overflowing with joy, thankfulness. But that we'll also have times of trouble where we need to lean on him even harder. And that's okay. That's life. What's life? Life without, there's life. Life is going to have trouble. And if you don't know him, oh, whoa. If you don't have him to lean on. You don't have him to pick you up. That's worse. So do what he asks you to do. Go where he wants you to go. And I like to pray with you for just a moment, and then the team will. Dear God, I pray that you will bless this people with open hearts, open eyes, open minds, because you want to do far more than you've already done. And I honor you and praise you for what you have done with this congregation, with this people. I praise you and thank you for what you've done with me. And I pray, too, that this week will be a time of revival in people's hearts. They'll be changed, renewed, and ever more dependent on you, and ever more useful for your kingdom. And I just pray this blessing on this congregation. Amen.